Today on Real Radio.
That's why trials have to come into our lives. We have to have them. They're not for God to discover something about us. They're for us to discover something about us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables. We're in a series within a series on the parable of the sower. It's a look at one of those sad truths that Jesus communicated to his disciples. In fact, it was meant only for his true followers to understand. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his mini-series called The Parable of the Sower.
We are learning about God himself in the Bible, and that carries with it profound responsibility. Very seriously, the reception. In Matthew 13:5, Jesus said, "Now some seed fell on stony places, rocky places, where they did not have much earth." Notice they had some earth, but not much. Just a little thin layer of dirt, which is very common. "And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away." Listen, the seed germinated, in fact, faster than normal. Number one, the soil is warm. It's on the rock, and the water that hits it keeps the soil, listen, wet. It doesn't go anywhere. So watch, you've got a rock or you've got a rocky area, and you've got a thin layer, maybe 2-3 inches of dirt on these rocks, and the seed falls. And all of a sudden, wow, look, the farmer might look and say, "Man, this is going to be an amazing crop. Look how fast this is springing up. It's so green. It's so quick. The nutrients are there." It's true. The nutrients are all there. The water's there. The soil is there. The sun is there. And it explodes upward in life. But he comes back around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's all lopped over. It's all wilted. And Jesus said there are those who come to church or they think about Christian things. They got a Bible. They might read about it. They start reading. They get excited about it. They make an outward decision for Jesus and they shoot like a skyrocket. We talked about that last week and they're just super duper Christians. Man, look at that guy. That guy's led 5 people to Christ this week. He's only been a Christian for 2 weeks. And then you see the guy a month later or a year later, and he's completely away from the faith. What happened? There was no depth in his growth. There was no, and we looked at it last time, we don't need to get much into it. There had been no winds to blow, bringing trials, as it were, difficulties. You always want to be around Christians who have gone through the seasons of faith. Believe me, I love being around new believers. They're so excited. It's just wonderful. But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the nursery. You can only handle it for a little bit, and then you got to go take a walk. It's cute and fun. But as life happens and as life goes on, listen, I want to encourage you, with difficulty, don't cave in. And I mean, you name it. Just young people growing up. That's tough. I'm so glad I'm not young in this world right now. This world's too hard. It's insane. Look, when I was a kid, we used to take tin cans and run a string, and I would talk to my neighbor friend about 100 feet away through the can. "Hey, man, what are you doing?" Nowadays, your kid's talking to some nut in Moscow somewhere on his cell phone. You don't know what's going on. And look at all the stuff that's happening about that kind of stuff. You don't know what's going on. Exposed to so much. Man, it's hard enough just being a kid. And then your hormones start going nuts at some age. That's another whole thing. All these things. Listen, man, I tell you what, parents, we need to parent our kids like never before. There's dangerous water ahead and icebergs in that water for that teenager, and you got to help them through and love them. Can I say this? It's not in my notes. Maybe it's free. Maybe I'll have to run another building for saying this. I don't know. But I think if you ask kids, and certainly if you ask our junior high and high schoolers, they don't want you to be their friend. We hear it from kids. My mom's trying to be my friend. I don't want my mom to be my friend. I want my mom to be my mom. I want my dad to try to stop being cool and be my dad. Mom and dad, they need leaders in their life. And they want leaders, by the way. They really do. This is an amazing time. And we need to be very careful because kids can hear something, get excited, and go for it, and just, maybe it's even the gospel, as in the context of this study, and they get all excited, and maybe it's you tonight, and you are very excited about God, but you haven't had any hardship and difficulty. Listen, for all of us, young and old, whatever hardships and difficulties we've gone through in life, you can either A, determine, my life has been the pits, and I'm going to go through the rest of my life bitter, angry, and upset, and I'm gonna give some people back some of the junk that I've had, and you'll never be happy. Even when you get revenge, you won't be happy. Or you can, listen, see the fact that God takes all these things in life and transforms them into a tremendous base of power if you'll just give all of that hurt and heartbreak to Him. He can take the worst situations, if your heart is willing, and transform those things into great victories. He is absolutely awesome. Jesus put it this way again, as Luke said it in Luke 8:13, not Matthew, but Luke, same account, Dr. Luke, verse 13, chapter 8, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Listen to this. Who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. We see most people, will you agree with me? At least most people I've ever known. Most people, this applies to the people. If I see 100 people come forward to accept Christ, a year later, there's maybe 30 still following Jesus. Why? Because of that verse right there. Jesus said people give up because of temptation. They cave in. It's hard. And they choose. They never allow themselves to move out into faith. Jesus said they only believe for a while, and I think we've all seen that happen. In Matthew 13:20, Jesus said, but he who received the seed on this stony ground or stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, that's hardships in life. I can't believe I gave my heart to Jesus and I got a flat tire. Doesn't God love me? Persecution, when it arises because of the word, notice persecution arises not because you're being a goofball. It's because you're being persecuted for the word. Look, we're all praying for Pastor Saeed. And this week they brought Christians in to stand trial against him. And they told the Christians, now you're going to go in here and you're going to testify against your pastor. And if you don't, we'll kill you. And why are the authorities in Iran going to kill Pastor Saeed from, is he from Boise, yeah? Boise, Idaho? Why? Because they said he's a threat to national security. What? His attorney asked, how is he a threat to national security? Oh, because he believes in Jesus. You ever think about that? Do you ever think about Jesus being a threat to national security? I preached the gospel on the streets of Russia right after the wall came down. And let me tell you something, man. The communists were terrified. They were pretty terrified of Ronald Reagan. I mean, I got an earful of that. They were scared to death of Reagan. But you know who freaked them out more than Ronald Reagan? Jesus Christ. You know who China, you know who China's terrified? China's not scared of us tonight. China's terrified of Jesus Christ tonight. You want to live an exciting life? Get on an airplane, fly to Seoul, Korea, and then take a ride up north and cross the DMZ and go into North Korea. And then stand on a cart, open up your Bible, and declare John 3:16. You will be put in prison for probably 40 to 50 years. Why? Because they're terrified of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is a threat to national security. You know why? Because Jesus, his kingdom is not of this world. He transforms people from the inside out. And they start having radical thoughts like self-worth. And your life means something. Even my enemies, God loves you. Can you imagine if a nation got converted to Christ? Not the nation, I'm joking right now. Not everyone's going to accept Christ, but imagine if a few people accepted Christ and everybody starts loving each other. Hey, man, I come here to beat you up. I heard you're a Christian. Well, do you want to beat me up on this side of my face or on that side of my face? I mean, you're going to beat me up for being a Christian? You want to arrest me because I have a Bible? Wow. Jesus said, this stuff's going to come, and every one of us will be tempted to water down maybe our witness in that moment. Then you wonder, you've heard this before. Brother Andrew wrote about this stuff in some of his books. Of militants came in the building right now and said, okay, all of you who believe in Jesus, go on that side of the sanctuary. Now, I would argue that if that were to happen here tonight, that would be kind of easy. Because in a group, you have a tendency to be encouraged in a group. So just think for a moment. All it takes, this is what happens. We know this from human nature, that if they came in with machine guns and they were to say, all of you who believe in Jesus Christ, go to that side of the room. And one person gets up and moves, guess what happens? People start moving. Because we're sheep. and we would go. And we would maybe, like, I mean, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It happened. People start singing songs, we're praising the Lord, and brrrr. The Jews did that in World War II. Christians. We forget that Adolf Hitler killed, I think it was 1 million Christians, maybe a little bit more. 800,000 homosexuals, he killed them. But in total, 11 million people. We don't remember that. But some people might say, well, I don't know. I don't know what side I'd be on. That's why trials have to come into our lives. We have to have them. They're not for God to discover something about us. They're for us to discover something about us. And we always want to pray, Lord, make my faith real. Don't make me a Sunday Christian. Make me a 24/7 Christian. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take the word, your Bible, and make it my reality. I want to live it. And Jesus said, there'll be those who will be persecuted. The fourth thing that we see tonight is this thing, longevity. Verse 7. And it's the third illustrative warning that he gives us. Matthew 13:7. Jesus said, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. He echoes that again in Luke 8:14. Now, the ones that fell among thorns, some of your Bibles say weeds or briars, it's all the same, are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Think about that for a moment. I want you to write that down in your note-taking. I love to garden. I think you guys already know that stuff. I love that stuff. I love just diving in there, planting stuff. I love watching stuff grow. I've never once in my life planted a weed. I've never went, oh man, they got some thorns there at Lowe's. Let's get those babies in and plant those things all over. They come uninvited. They come everywhere, all over the place. You got to fight them, don't you? Have you noticed? They grow first. They grow fast. They grow taller, wider. They grow anywhere. They grow in your driveway. With all the rain and stuff, and my house has got a bunch of big trees, the leaves have fallen all over my house. Looks like I live in the Shire with Frodo. And our gutters, I can't keep them clear enough, fast enough. And the gutters just in a few days, they got all leaves in them, and then it rained a little bit, and it got them moist. You know what happened? Two spots. Dandelions grew last week in my rain gutters. Now, why couldn't it have been like chrysanthemums or ranunculus growing? Of course not, because weeds spring up, and they're amazing because their roots go everywhere. And they're so strong, and they're so resilient, and the sun comes, and they're fine. All my plants are withered, and they're like, yeah, bring it on. More heat. And I curse them in Jesus' name. I do. I'm not kidding, man. They're demonic. Listen to the story. Jesus is telling us this. By the way, they get the most of the water. They just go get it. They rob the ground of nutrients. They steal from the ground all the vitamins that are there. And they're very difficult. And it's interesting. And I just put this down in my notes today, thinking about this, that Jesus said, the thorns are the cares. Church, listen, this particular portion of this parable of the sower may apply to us more than the other illustrations he gives. And I'm not picking on anybody tonight. This is me. I'm picking on me. This is the stuff I wrote down regarding my life. So I wrote this. So then the cares and the worries and the demands of Southern California life act just like thorns and weeds. They will, maybe with some subtlety, but vengeance, strangle what I learned from God right out of my heart. And I want you to think about that for a second. I wrote that for me to have it in my head to say something different to you. But I thought, I'll just read that. Why? Because all of us will come to church, we'll worship the Lord, and we'll learn something in the Bible. It's like, oh man, I need this in my life. And we all agree to that, right? Well, yeah, I need that in my life. And then, let's end with a song. Okay. Some of you don't even end with a song. It's like, we got to get to the parking lot. And we get to the car. And I bet, you know, within a mile that we're out of here, if we were to stop and take a quiz. Now, what was it you just said? What were you just thinking? What? You know, about 10 minutes ago in church. What? Why? You know, you said that I got to do this in my life. I don't know. What happened? What happened? What happened was, and this is, we all deal with this. We pull out of here. What channel is the Laker game on? What channel is it on? The station. What is it? I was just joking, but you're telling me what it was? Oh my gosh. What is it? Is it on now? I thought you were she's watching the game, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But you know how we are, right? Isn't that happened? Or it's the news, or it's this, or the whatever. We are so on the go with cares in our Southern California life. You guys, I'm old enough to remember real Southern California life. Isn't it interesting that 30 years ago, there was a revival in Southern California, big time, and it reached the world. You know what? Remember the quintessential Southern California life? It was known to be laid back. It was easygoing. I remember things. You guys too, if you grew up in the beach area specifically. I mean, you used to just, we used to drive the cars up and down the beach. And it was just so lazy, California cool, relaxed, and it's like, hey man, whatever, you know. And you could kind of feel how you could really go meditate on the Bible. You could take time to do that. And then everybody realized, you know, it's just really great to have the weather here and all this kind of stuff. Things built up, things got busy, got to make money, you grow up, you got to pay bills. And it's like, okay, come on. Okay, Bible. Yeah, let's do, okay, Bible. Okay, go. And we're off to something else. Jesus is saying, watch out, the cares of the world will come and choke the word out of your life. Don't think, any of you who have been Christians for a while, think, well, I've made it through that. We're right in it. Because listen, we could continue on for a good while and become very dull of hearing because cares will begin to take the word out of our life. Listen to this. We all need to write this verse down. Every one of us need to write this verse down. Philippians 4, verse 6. This should be in fortune cookies. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Isn't that great? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Oh, really? I'm sure. What do I do? Everything by prayer. In other words, pray about it. Give it to God. And supplication. Get before him on it. Talk to him about it. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Watch what happens. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Wow. Will garrison, surround, build a troop around, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the eternal word of God. This is the Bible. And what I just read to you is so radically foreign to us because we live in such a constant culture. We drive through the fast food place and we're wondering, it's taking them so long. Have you noticed that? Come on. It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely wild. And it's like, put in the microwave. Oh, come on. We are sick. We're caught up, though. We're caught up in this push. And it can absolutely, you know what? I think it's safe to say it is robbing us of spiritual growth. Not maybe. It is. Every one of us. We all battle with this. And we need to fight it. We really need to fight this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Sower, a look at one of the analogies told by Jesus himself to his disciples. And we'll continue with more of The Parable of the Sower on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, let's switch gears here, and you need to listen real close, especially if you're a believer and you belong to a union. Now, you may already be aware that part of your union dues goes to organizations and causes that a lot of Christian union members disagree with. Well, here's a little inside info on a well-kept secret. Federal law, Title VII, allows you to opt out of your union dues if you have a, quote, sincerely held religious belief. And it gets even better. Real Life has put together a program in partnership with Pacific Justice Institute, complete with legal services to make it as simple as possible to process your opt-out request with your union and redirect your funds to the work that God is doing through Real Life Ministries. And once again, we've made things real quick, real easy, and simple for Real Radio listeners. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity, reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. There you'll see the video of Pastor Jack speaking with Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute, and he explains that this is not just legal, it's also your right. You can also watch the video, which is less than 5 minutes, or just scroll to the bottom, point and click, and then get started. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.